Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, Dorit Bat Sara, and Ruth Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. For decades, we true Kahanists have asserted a million times that God has given Israel the tools that she needs to be independent and sovereign and to resist pressure from the United States and other nations of the world, that Israel could, in fact, resist pressure, and that when Israel does refuse to give in to pressure, that's when Israel wins, that's when Israel flourishes. When Israel gives in to pressure, when Israel depends on other nations, that's when Israel suffers, and that's when terrible things happen for the Jewish state, God forbid. This was a theme of ours for decades, and surely enough, despite the evil, traitorous leadership that we have in Israel today, the phony, corrupt, hypocritical, lying, two-faced politicians that we have in Israel, from Netanyahu to the left, to the phony right, to Bennett, to Lapid, all of them liars, all of them frauds, all of them. Despite this, Hashem Yitbarach, God, blessed be He, is moving Israel in the right direction, even in terms of independence. Even the New York Nazi Times, which for over a century worked to destroy the Jewish people, which played such a big role in the Holocaust. New York Nazi Times was one of the newspapers that legitimized Adolf Hitler, yimach shmo, and that made it possible for Hitler to carry out the Holocaust. This evil newspaper, which was owned by self-hating, intermarried Jews, Judenrat Kapo, self-hating Jews, the most vicious and evil people. And today you have self-hating Jews and Gentile anti-Semites, all Jew haters at the New York Nazi Times, all Jew haters. Even this vicious site, it's no longer a newspaper, it's not really a newspaper because newspapers are basically going out of business. It's the New York Nazi Times has become like a website. And even this website, which is so committed to hurting Israel and destroying Israel, had to concede in an article that was written on May 24th, 2021, that Israel's dependence on the U.S. is shrinking, is decreasing all the time. And one very interesting statistic that was brought up in the article, which is something that we should bear in mind and remember, in the year 1981, U.S. aid to Israel, military aid, economic aid, arms shipments, all U.S. aid to Israel in 1981 constituted almost 10% of Israel's economy, so it was a major part of Israel's economy. Now, even then, Israel could have started a program for self-sufficiency and should have started a program for self-sufficiency, and we Kahanists advocated that they do so, and they didn't. But in 1981, almost 10% of Israel's economy was U.S. aid of one form or another. And so Israel was, at that point, dependent on the United States in 1981. Again, they could have gotten off of that dependence with a concerted effort at self-sufficiency, but they didn't do that. Today, 40 years later, U.S. aid to Israel in the year 2020, it's actually 39 years later, in 2020, 39 years later, U.S. aid to Israel constituted, and I'm talking about all military, economic, arms shipments, U.S. assistance of one form or another to Israel constituted only 1% of Israel's total economy. Only 1% of Israel's economy is all the U.S. aid that Israeli politicians have always told us is so essential to Israel's survival. Israel can't last 5 minutes without America. You can't survive 5 minutes. Complete nonsense. This article conceded that that's not true. This article conceded and had many experts in Israel and professors and experts saying that's just not true. They said it's not true anymore. It was never true. But they said it's not true anymore because they once believed it was true when Israeli dependence was greater. So Israel's economy now, 99% of Israel's economy now has nothing to do with U.S. aid, is not connected to U.S. aid. Only 1% of Israel's economy is U.S. aid. So obviously, Israel is no longer dependent on the United States, despite the artificial dependence that we see created in people's minds by the fact that the U.S. continues to give U.S. military and economic aid to Israel, something which we're against. They should cut off all U.S. military and economic aid to Israel. Israel should be completely independent, and that would strengthen Israel more than anything. Only 1% of Israel's economy now is connected to U.S. aid. It was almost 10% in 1981. Now it's only 1%. And that's continuing to lessen, because Israel's technological prowess and Israel's Jewish brain power is creating a tiny Jewish state. It's a small Jewish state, but wow, the things they're coming up with. And you know, one of the things that people would say to us in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and so on, they would say to us, and when I say us, I mean we Kahanists, we true Kahanists, they would say to us, okay, even putting aside U.S. aid, how important it is for the Israeli economy, Israel's military must have U.S. fighter jets, because Israel is too small a country and the economy is too small to produce hundreds and hundreds of F-16s and other modern jet fighters that the United States sells to Israel. Israel's economy can't produce that. It's just too expensive. It's too much of a burden on Israel's economy to produce hundreds of these jet fighters. So Israel's dependent militarily on the United States, because that's where they get their planes from. And yes, once upon a time, Israel's military was dependent in many ways on having a strong air force. Now again, we believe Israel could have created her own air force and her own jets and her own, you know, and the Kfir jet fighter is a superior jet to most American jet fighters. And the tanks that Israel produces, 100% in Israel, 100% Israel produces her own tanks, 100%. We believe they're the best tanks in the world. But let's assume that Israel did need at one time jets, because certainly Israel's air force played a major role in the Six-Day War in 1967 and in the Yom Kippur War in 1973. The air force did play a big role, and the air force was a major part of Israel's military strategy historically. Israel's main military strength today does not come from the air force. Jet fighters are not the main source of Israel's military strength, or what Israel uses in her military camp, in what would be her military defense today. The main source of Israel's strength today comes from missile technology and from laser technology and other technology that is not related to having a gigantic air force. Yes, Israel needs a certain, and Israel can easily produce an air force that would be more than sufficient in this day and age of missile technology and of all types of missiles, like the Iron Dome, for instance, program that Israel played such a big role in creating. And by the way, many of the scientists in America that played a role in creating it were Jewish. But the Iron Dome technology that shot down more than 90% of the Hamas missiles that were coming into Israel in the latest war. Now that's just an example of where Israel's military needs are really represented. It's missile technology, it's laser technology, it's intelligence on the ground. That's where Israel's wars are going to be won or lost. By the way, I should say that if Hezbollah and Iran wage war against Israel, if that day ever comes, they have hundreds of thousands of missiles, far more than Hamas, and their missiles, many of their missiles are far more accurate. The Iron Dome would not be able to stop 90% of their missiles. In fact, most of their missiles would be unstoppable as far as the Iron Dome or anti-missile technology. So Israel really has to have a military strategy to deal with the Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon, that's in the north, as opposed to what they did with the Hamas terrorists in the south, who have much more primitive military capability and missile tech. The Hamas terrorists weren't really using missiles, they were using what's called rockets, whereas the Hezbollah terrorists, they have more advanced missile technology that the Iron Dome is not sufficient. The Iron Dome is not sufficient to handle that. And neither is Israel's Air Force. Israel's Air Force cannot defeat or prevent missiles from coming in. We saw this in the last war. Israel's Air Force bombed in Gaza. And it didn't stop the missiles, thousands of missiles from flying into Israel. They couldn't stop it. The Air Force, you can't win a war with the Air Force. You couldn't win a war even in the old days just with the Air Force. Just with the Air Force, you would never win a war. Israel's ground forces, in the end, won the 1967 and 1973 wars. The Air Force played a role in helping them, there's no question about it, but it was the ground forces that won the war. It was the ground forces that liberated land. It's the ground forces that actually defeated the Egyptians, the Syrians, and the other Arab Nazi attackers. So, the name of the game is intelligence information, the proper explosives, deep penetrating explosives that you need to destroy, for instance, Iran's nuclear program. That's the name of the game. And of course, you have to have an air force that's adequate, but you don't need the hundreds and hundreds of planes that Israel once felt that she was dependent upon. You don't need this gigantic air force and gigantic purchases, very expensive, gigantic purchases from the United States. That's not good for Israel. It's not good for her economy, and it's not good for her military. If Israel's going to win a war against Iran, Israel has to use the air force and attack from the air, but Israel also has to be able to penetrate underground. And Israel has the ability, we've seen that Israel has the ability to do that. There have been explosions underground in Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. So Israel has incredible intelligence and penetrative capabilities because of Jewish brain power. And those big successes have come not from the Air Force. Now, in 1981, Israel did use the Air Force to destroy Saddam Hussein's nuclear program in Iraq. Yes. But that was just one site, and it was a site that could be destroyed by the Air Force. And they didn't need hundreds of planes. Two or three, four or five planes are enough to handle that type of challenge. Same thing with the Syrian nuclear program that was destroyed by in 2005 or 2006. I don't remember if it was 2005 or 2006 under Ehud Olmert. But now we have different types of challenges, deep tunnels, and all types of challenges that the Air Force, in and of itself, cannot handle. It's good to have an effective air force, and Israel can have an effective air force, but she doesn't need hundreds and hundreds of planes that are very expensive from the United States. She doesn't need it. She can make her own well enough and focus the rest of her resources on the things that are needed to really get within the lair of the enemy's bomb-making program. That's what Israel really needs to do. If Israel's going to destroy Nasrallah and Hezbollah and those in Lebanon and Syria and Iraq, because the Iranians have created a missile threat to Israel now that comes from Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, and Iran itself. All these countries now can now fire missiles into Israel, Chas v'Chalila. Hundreds of thousands of missiles, not thousands, hundreds of thousands, and far more accurate than the Hamas missiles. And those are the conventional missiles. We're not even talking about the nuclear program they're working on. So Israel faces a very serious existential threat. And that existential threat can only be dealt with excellent intelligence information, with the capacity to infiltrate within enemy lines, and with great technology and great missile technology, and an air force that doesn't have to be hundreds and hundreds of planes, but has to be effective enough, which Israel does have. All of that means, everything I've just told you means, that Israel independently is far more effective militarily, economically, and in every other way than when she is dependent at all on the United States. An Israel that's independent and does her own technology and her own missiles and her own tanks and her own laser technology and her own intelligence information and her own jet fighters. And basically that could be even just keeping the jet fighters Israel's already purchased and just making sure they're in good shape. Only when Israel does that can Israel be effective in fighting against the many serious military challenges that she now faces. So, and let's understand something, by the way. The missile technology that I'm speaking about is produced almost entirely by Israel herself. Almost all of Israel's missile technology is produced by Israel herself. Iron Dome is anti-missile. That's defensive technology, which isn't very is not effective against Hezbollah and the Iranian missiles, which are too accurate for the Iron Dome. It wouldn't be effective against those missiles. It's only effective against the smaller rockets that were being fired from Gaza. So Israel can produce very advanced technology, can do tremendous things with missile technology and other advanced technology and all types of deep penetrating explosives. She can do all of that, and she does it better on her own than the clumsy, huge amounts of weaponry she was buying from the United States, which did not serve her well in recent decades, did not serve her well in the recent wars at all. Didn't, in fact, were completely ineffective in the recent wars that Israel has waged. So what does all this mean? This means that Hashem, God, is bringing us to the point where the Jews will be self-sufficient. Why is that so important? Because it is a chilul Hashem, it's a desecration of God's name. If God wins a miraculous victory for little Israel, and then the Jews say, yeah, they won, but it was because of American aid, or because of America. If not for America, they wouldn't have won. That's a chilul Hashem, that's a desecration of God's name. It's a lie, first of all, and secondly, it's desecrating God's name. It's saying God is not responsible for the miracle of Israel's survival, which he is. And it is the opposite, it's a kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name. When Israel does win incredible, miraculous victories, and if Israel does that and doesn't have the support of the United States and doesn't have the support of other countries, then that's a kiddush Hashem. Then people see the miraculous hand of God. In the 1948 War of Independence, the United States didn't send Israel anything, any military aid at all. Nothing. Nothing. Not one bullet. Not one gun, not one bullet, not one weapon. Nothing was sent. And the United States was, together with the British, arming other Arab countries that participated in trying to invade and destroy Israel. So the United States worked against Israel in the 1948 War of Independence. And Israel was pressured by the United States not to create a Jewish state. They were warned and threatened not to create a Jewish state. They held a vote and decided to do it. By one vote, it passed. They decided to create a Jewish state. They were really torn. A lot of the Jews were against. They said, hey, listen, we've got to be realistic here. Well, we're going against the whole world, and the whole Arab world is ready to invade us. This is crazy. We just had a Holocaust 3 years ago, 1948. 1945, 6 million Jews were just murdered. Well, we're going to be murdered too. We're going to be slaughtered. This is crazy. That's what all the practical Jews, that's what all the sane, quote-unquote, Jews, all the moderate Jews, all the establishment Jews, all the big military experts, that's what they all said. But somehow, the Jewish leadership was pressured. They were pressured by Jewish underground freedom fighters. And by one vote, they decided they're going to create a Jewish state and they're going to declare a Jewish state, despite American pressure not to do so. Despite the world telling them not to do so, they said they're going to do it anyway. And they did it. And look at the triumph we have after 2,000 years of wandering and homelessness and helplessness. We have an independent, robust, sovereign Jewish nation again. What a miracle, what a magnificent, breathtaking, incredible miracle that has happened to no other people in history. No other people was expelled from their land for 20 centuries, and then their prophets told them that they're going to come back thousands of years later, and thousands of years later they came back. No other people experienced these types of miracles. I apologize, by the way, that noise you hear in the background is a phone going off. I apologize for that. I should have turned my phone off. But it'll go off in a minute. Now, in 1967, again, Israel was confronted with American pressure and Soviet pressure and the world telling Israel not to win, not to strike first, not to survive. And the Jews, many of the Jews in Israel, again, the practical Jews, the sane Jews, the moderate Jews, the experts, they said, oh, we got to listen to this. We can't, you know, we got to be realistic here. This is crazy. And in 1967, Israel ignored the pressure of the United States and the world. President Johnson threatened Israel with an arms embargo and did, in fact, impose an arms embargo on Israel for a number of months after the 67 war to punish Israel for surviving. Yeah, the great Lyndon Johnson and the great Democrat Party. The Republicans, they were all against Israel. The Republicans were also against Israel, because they wanted Arab oil. In any event, in 1967, in the 1967 Six-Day War, Israel ignored American pressure, ignored Lyndon Johnson's threats, ignored Soviet threats, ignored the UN, ignored everybody, and went and struck their enemies as their enemies were building up on the border to destroy the Jewish state. They ignored everything and struck, and in six days, the Jewish state quadrupled in size. 6 days, Israel was four times as big as she had been only 6 days earlier. Israel defeated the whole Arab world. The whole, knocked the living daylights out of all the Arab armies and defeated the whole Arab world. Because she refused to give in to pressure, just like in 1948 when she triumphed after refusing to give in to pressure. Then in 1970, in something that was called the War of Attrition, Israel did give in to pressure. And what happened? The Soviets built huge, huge numbers of missile batteries SAM missile batteries all over the Suez Canal, which ended up destroying a huge part of the Israeli Air Force later in a war that was fought later. Terrible decision. Israel caved in and paid a terrible price in 1970. In 1973, in the Yom Kippur War, Israel didn't strike first. Israel could have won just as spectacular a victory as she had in 1967 if she had ignored the pressure of Heinrich Kissinger, Yimach Shmov Zechro Shem Reshaim Yirkav, that filthy Nazi Judenrat piece of subhuman scum. And Richard Nixon, by the way. Jews say, oh, Nixon, but he gave Israel arms during the war. He gave Israel arms when Israel had already turned the tide and was winning the war. Israel was almost destroyed because of the Nixon-Kissinger pressure not to strike first. In 73, 2,600 Jewish soldiers were killed in that war for no reason. And in the end, Israel didn't even win decisively, because when she surrounded the Egyptian army and could have crushed them and could have won decisively, again she gave in to pressure and let the Egyptians off the hook and didn't win decisively. Every time Israel gives in to pressure, every time Israel goes along with what the evil leaders of the nations of the world demand of her, it leads to disaster. And every time Israel refuses to give in to pressure and stands alone and takes courageous decisions, it leads to great victories. That's the lesson of history. And so the lesson of history is Israel must become independent. It's what we said decades ago. It's what could have happened decades ago. It's what could have saved so many lives. It's what could have brought the final redemption already. If we had listened to Morenu v'Rabbeinu Harab Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo, all of this would have happened. But we didn't listen. We were practical. We thought we knew better. We thought we knew better than Hashem and better than what the Torah says. The Torah and the Tanakh, the Bible, tells us over and over again, don't lean on the broken reed of Egypt. It'll pierce your hand. Broken reed of Egypt in those days was like the United States of today. the Egyptian Empire at that time. The prophets, the Bible, the whole theme of it is over and over again. All the kings, Sefer Melachim, if you read Sefer Shoftim, the Book of Judges, the theme is over and over again how Jews have to be independent, have to become independent, and have to have their own sovereignty and their own land again. That's the theme that was true then, and it's as true as ever now. We're trying to bring this message and have been bringing this message we have been bringing to the people of Israel. This is one message they've allowed us to advertise with our videos. We've been bringing this message to the people of Israel. And thousands of Jews every week are seeing this very subject being publicized in a video that we did, and that's being advertised, because we have an advertising campaign to reach the Jews of Israel. You see, now the New York Nazi Times in the year 2021 is having articles saying things that we said 40, 50 years ago. We were right from the start. On the big issues, on the important issues, we Kahanists have been right over and over again, and everybody else has been wrong. Because we believe. We really believe. We believe in what it says in the Torah. We believe in what it says in the Tanakh. The Tanakh being the Jewish Bible. And in the end, if you believe, you're going to turn out to be right. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world and change Jewish history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.